Imagine, just for a moment, you're a parent. But you're not dealing with the usual anxieties, grades, screen time, that sort of thing.
Right.
You are navigating the world with a child who has special needs. It could be autism. It could be a cognitive difference.
Yeah.
And under all the joy, there's this constant hum of terror.
Yes, the fear of the open door. It's a very specific kind of fear.
Exactly. It's that tension, right, mm-hmm. between wanting your child to grow, to be independent, and the terrifying reality that they might just wander off.
They might get confused, get on the wrong bus. And the key thing is they might not be able to just ask for help.
Which has a name, right? The clinical term for this.
It's called elopement. And for these families, it's not some hypothetical what if. The statistics show it's often a when.
And that is the heavy but necessary starting point for today's deep dive. We're looking at a piece of technology called Angel Sense.
Yeah.
But I want to be really clear right from the start. This is not just a gadget review.
No, if you're thinking this is a standard tech review, you're going to miss the entire point. This is about assistive technology.
Okay, so define that for us.
We're exploring how hardware and AI are being specifically engineered to solve a human safety challenge. One that generic tech like an Apple AirTag or your standard kid's smartwatch just isn't built for.
That's a really interesting distinction. Tech for convenience versus, tech for survival.
It is.
And to really get to the bottom of this, we pulled together a whole stack of sources. We're talking detailed reports from late 2025, some heavy hitter reviews from Safewise, PC Mag, and PC World.
And crucially, we've also got user feedback, actual comments from parents who are in the trenches using this device every day.
That feedback feels like the anchor here, doesn't it?
It has to be. Because if your fitness tracker misses a few steps, it's annoying.
Right.
But if a safety device fails a child with high support needs, that's a crisis. So the mission for this deep dive is to understand, can a piece of plastic and silicon actually bridge that gap between safety and independence?
That's the independence paradox you mentioned.
Exactly. But to get there, we have to look at why the current market just fails these families.
So let's start with the design. Because when I was reading through the material, the first thing that really jumped out was what Angel Sense doesn't have.
Right.
If you look at the kid tracker market today, what do you see?
You see toys. I mean, that's what they are. They're mini smartphones on a wrist, bright color screens, little math games, messaging apps.
Which, to be fair, sounds great for my 10-year-old niece. She would absolutely love that.
For sure. It's fun for a neurotypical kid, but we have to completely shift our thinking to the neurodiverse experience. For a child with autism or sensory processing disorders, those features aren't features at all.
They're bugs.
Massive bugs. Think about it. Distraction and fixation. You send the child to school with a device on their wrist that beeps and lights up and has a game. You are actively interfering with their learning.
And their therapy, I'd imagine.
Definitely. Teachers hate them because the kid is just glued to this little screen.
So Angel Sense went the other way. A kind of minimalist approach.
They took what the sources are calling an anti-smartwatch approach. It's a very deliberate subtraction of features.
So no screens.
No screens, no games, no dial pad. It's just a nondescript black rectangle. The goal isn't to entertain the child. The goal is to monitor them without disrupting their entire day.
That makes perfect sense when you frame it as assistive tech. It's a tool, not a toy.
Exactly.
But there's another layer to the design that I found really interesting, and it was something I hadn't really considered before. The whole sensory-friendly aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the texture of the strap such a big deal in the reviews?
This is huge. And it's so often overlooked by mainstream tech. For a lot of people on the autism spectrum, tactile sensations can be amplified. A rough fabric, a tight band, sweaty silicone, that can be excruciating.
So it's not just, this is a little uncomfortable. It's, this actually hurts.
It can feel like burning or scratching. It's unbearable. So if a device triggers that sensory overload, the child is going to rip it off.
And a tracker that isn't on the child is.
It's a very expensive paperweight. It's completely useless.
So you've lost your safety net right when you might need it most.
Precisely. So Angel Sense uses the specialized soft fabric sleeve. It can be pinned inside a pocket or worn on a waistband. But they also include a feature that, I'm curious what your gut reaction was to this one. They call it parent-controlled fasteners.
I saw that. And I have to admit, playing devil's advocate here, when I read lockable, I had a bit of a visceral reaction. It sounds intense.
I get that. I totally get that reaction. It touches on autonomy, and ideally you wouldn't need it.
Right.
But we have to look at the reality of the behavior you're trying to manage. This is for children who are prone to stripping off their clothes or removing devices during a meltdown.
And a meltdown is not a tantrum.
No, it's a total loss of control from sensory overload. In that state, a child might try to escape anything touching them. If they run away during that crisis, that is the exact moment you need the tracker to be secure. So the magnetic pins, they need a special key to be removed, kind of like a security tag in a store. They make sure the device survives that moment.
That analogy helps a lot. It's not about shackling the child. It's about making sure the life-saving device doesn't get left behind in a park while the child keeps running.
Exactly. And the sources note that because of this whole design, the soft fabric plus the secure attachment, the device actually stays on. During sleep, play, therapy, it solves the number one failure point of other trackers.
Okay, so the hardware is robust, it's comfortable, and it stays put. Now let's go under the hood. The sources call this AI-driven assistive technology. That sounds a little like marketing buzzword soup. What is actually going on here?
So the biggest technical difference, and this is critical, is the refresh rate, the GPS logic. Your standard kid's tracker, or even a pet tracker, it pings its location maybe every 1 to 5 minutes.
Which sounds fast enough. I mean, 5 minutes.
It sounds fast until you think about a running child. In 5 minutes, a child can go a quarter of a mile. They can cross a street. They can disappear into a crowd.
That really puts it in perspective. 5 minutes is an eternity in an emergency.
It is. AngelSense has what they call runner mode. The source specifies that during an emergency, it updates every 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
It's a continuous live stream of their movement, basically real time.
Wow.
And it's not just a dot on a huge map. The sources really emphasize indoor accuracy. Standard GPS can tell you someone is at the school. But if you get that call that your child is hiding somewhere, at school isn't good enough.
No.
AngelSense tries to tell you where in the school they are.
That's impressive. But I want to circle back to the AI part. The source mentions things like vehicle detected and unusual route. This is where it starts to feel less like a map and more like an intelligent assistant.
This is the big shift from passive to proactive tracking. A passive tracker just waits for you. You have to open the app. You have to refresh the map and ask, where is my child?
And you can't stare at your phone all day. You have a job. You have other kids.
Exactly. You can't be hypervigilant 24/7. So the AI takes on that burden. It learns the child's routine. It knows that from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., they're at the geofence location called school. If the child leaves that area at 10 a.m., it doesn't wait for you to check.
It sends an alert.
Immediately, unusual departure.
And the vehicle detected feature. That one sounded really unique.
Yeah, that's fascinating tech. The sensors can tell the difference in velocity and movement patterns between a car and, say, walking or running. So imagine your kid is supposed to be on the playground.
Okay.
And suddenly, the device registers that they're moving at 30 miles per hour.
That is a heart-stopping notification to get.
It is, but it's a necessary one. It means they got on a bus or into a car when they weren't supposed to. The system flags it instantly. It prevents that I didn't know until it was too late scenario.
So it shifts the anxiety. Instead of the parent constantly worrying, is everything okay? The device is saying, I'm watching. I'll tell you if you need to worry.
It allows the parent to just mentally exhale.
And I'm guessing the smart geofences mentioned in the sources are part of this.
Yes. Usually you have to manually draw these safe zones. It's tedious. AngelSense automates a lot of it. It sends arrival and departure alerts automatically. So you get a ping, arrived at school, ping, left school. It creates a digital paper trail of the day.
Okay, so we have a device that stays on, a system that watches the map for you. But what happens when you actually need to communicate? This is where it pivots away from being just a tracker and becomes more like a phone.
But a phone designed for someone who maybe can't use a phone. So yes, it has a two-way voice feature, which is standard enough. But the real game changer here is the auto pickup speakerphone.
Auto pickup. Okay, let's pause there. Because again, if I'm playing devil's advocate, that sounds a little invasive. Why do I need to be able to just force a connection? Why can't the child just press a button to answer?
Think about the user profile again. We could be talking about a child who is nonverbal. They physically can't say hello. Or a child with motor skill limitations who can't press a tiny button.
Or, I guess, a child who is hiding or in distress.
Exactly that. In a sensory meltdown, a child might be hiding under a desk. They're shutting out the world. They are not going to answer a phone call. The auto pickup lets the parent open the line and say, I'm coming, without the child having to do a thing.
The source also calls this the listen-in function. And I can see how in a different context, that sounds dystopian. Like eavesdropping.
Mm.
But here,
it's strictly about safety. Think about the school bus ride. For a special needs parent, The bus can be a total black box. You put your child on, and you just hope for the best.
So with Listen In, you can check the audio environment.
You can discreetly listen. Is the bus moving? Is your child crying? Is someone yelling? You can assess the situation without embarrassing your child by making a loud phone ring on the bus.
That's a really delicate balance of dignity and safety. You want to protect them, but not make them stand out even more.
Right. And speaking of safety, the source also mentions an SOS button.
Yes, so there is one button.
There is one button. If the child is able to use it, they can press it to ask for help. It's not for chatting, it's a panic button. It triggers that emergency mode, alerts the parents, and kicks the GPS into high-speed updates.
That's empowering for the child. If I'm scared, I can push this.
Exactly.
So I want to move on to how the world sees this device, because the sources have some pretty heavy hitters in the review space.
Yeah, the third-party validation is really strong. Safewise named it their top pick for unique safety features. PC Mag talked about the unmatched peace of mind.
And PC World called it one of the few trackers created entirely around the needs of children with disabilities. That phrase, unmatched peace of mind, keeps coming up.
It does.
But there's a paradox here. We're talking about a tracker, which is essentially a digital leash. But the argument is that this leash actually creates more freedom.
It's the independence paradox. It sounds completely contradictory, but think about it. If you have zero visibility on your child and you know they're a flight risk, what's your default setting as a parent?
Lockdown, you keep them close, you don't let them go on the field trip, the risk is just too high.
Exactly. Your fear constricts their world, but if you have that safety net, if you know that if they wander, you'll get an alert and you can find them in minutes, you're willing to let that leash out a little.
You let them ride the bus.
You let them walk to the mailbox. You let them have experiences that build confidence.
And this isn't just theory. The source material had real comments. I saw one from a user named Jeanette Martin. She said, "My son has autism. He is attending a public school now, and we want to help ensure safety."
That's the real-world application right there. A kid going to public school, that is a huge, huge milestone.
Enormous. And for that parent, this tracker is probably the tool that makes that milestone manageable. It lets her son be in that environment.
Yeah.
But there was another comment that raised a really difficult but important question. Someone named Sandra Marin asked, "Is it okay for the child to know they are being tracked?"
And that is the big ethical question, isn't it? It's about consent and privacy and dignity. And it's a question every family has to navigate.
How did the company respond to that? Because that's a tricky one.
Amy from Angel Sense replied, and she framed it very carefully. She emphasized that the device is for people with autism, Alzheimer's, and dementia. She pivoted it back to empowerment. It's not surveillance for control. It's a lifeline.
And I suppose for a child who gets lost easily, knowing that mom can find me isn't a threat. It's a comfort.
That's it. For many of these kids, getting lost is terrifying. Knowing they have that digital connection to their safe person can actually reduce their anxiety. It frames the tracker not as a spy device, but as safety equipment, like a helmet.
You don't wear a helmet because you plan to crash.
You wear it so you're safe if you do.
It's interesting you just mentioned Alzheimer's and dementia. The source material brings that up a few times. This isn't just for kids, is it?
No, and that's a rapidly growing use case. The behaviors wandering, confusion, not being able to operate a phone are sadly very similar.
And all the design features we talked about, the simplicity would apply there too.
Perfectly. The anti-smartwatch design works for seniors who are confused by tech. They don't need apps. They need something simple that stays on them. And that auto pickup feature is just as vital if a senior wanders and falls.
So if we zoom out here, we started this deep dive talking about this very specific deep anxiety.
The anxiety of the what if. And I think we found that technology, when it's purpose-built like this, can actually mitigate it. The big takeaway from all the sources isn't just about the specs. It's that the device was engineered with empathy.
Empathy is exactly the right word. It acknowledges the reality of the user, that they might hide under a desk or get on the wrong bus. It doesn't try to force the child to fit the tech. It changes the tech to fit the child.
Which is the very definition of assistive technology. It's not a gadget. It's more like a prosthetic for safety. As PC Mag said, it offers unmatched peace of mind.
And for a parent of a child with special needs, peace of mind is probably the most expensive commodity in the world.
It really is. It's the difference between a life lived in fear and a life where you can actually take a breath.
And give the child the chance to prove they can handle the world, just with a little bit of backup.
Yep.
So as we wrap this up, it gets me thinking about where all this tech is going. We spend so much time talking about AI taking jobs or generating deepfakes.
Yeah.
But here, it's just quietly watching a map so a parent can sleep at night.
It's a really powerful, quiet application of the tech, and it leaves me with a final thought for our listeners to kind of chew on. We're seeing these devices become more proactive, right? Predicting behavior, not just recording it.
Right.
As this AI gets smarter, as it gets better at knowing before someone wanders, how will our definition of independence evolve?
That's a fascinating question.
Will we reach a point where the technology is so reliable that the human oversight, the constant checking of the app, becomes obsolete? Could the digital leash become invisible, letting people with significant disabilities move through the world with total autonomy, knowing the AI will only step in when it's absolutely necessary?
That is a future worth hoping for. A future where the tech provides a safety net and the person just gets to live their life.
Exactly. Where the disability doesn't define the boundaries of their world.
Well, on that hopeful note, we're going to close the book on this deep dive. Thank you so much for listening and exploring this world of assistive technology with us.
Thanks for listening.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive.